RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
You've got questions. Melanie's got answers. This is Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
You know no relationship is perfect, but if you found yourself in a well-balanced, healthy relationship, it can benefit your overall health in so many ways you might not even realize it. My guest today is Dr. Ramani Durvasula. She's a licensed clinical psychologist in private practice in Santa Monica, California. Welcome to the show, Dr. Durvasula. So let's talk about relationships. Yeah. What makes a relationship healthy?
I mean, first of all, it has to be a healthy relationship characterized by respect, and what we call reciprocity, like appropriate back and forth. And, you know, that you're sort of both on the same page, that there's minimal conflict. And when there is, it's respectful conflict. Obviously, no relationship is conflict-free. It's two people who are there for each other in a consistent, respectful way. That's what we're looking at in a healthy relationship. Doesn't mean that they have the same interests. It doesn't mean that they don't occasionally bicker. That happens. But we're looking for some of those key pillars of what makes a relationship good.
Okay, so key pillars of what makes a relationship good are, I think, Dr. Durvasula, somewhat subjective, aren't they? I mean, to some people, it's the guy who wants to take you out and show you a great time and spend his money. And to some people, it's the person who wants to stay in and cuddle and be happy. And to other people, it's the really healthy guy that likes to, you know, get out and hike and bike. And to others, it's the guy who likes to go to the movies and sit and watch television. It's very subjective. So how do we know if we're in a healthy relationship?
I think all of that stuff is window dressing, hobbies, and whether you like to go out or not go out or whatever. The key stuff, like I said, is the stuff like respect. It's the back and forth. It's the being there. It's the actually being heard and listened to. It doesn't matter what your interests are. It doesn't matter how you spend your time. Those are the key ingredients. It could be long distance. You know, you don't even have to live in the same country as long as you have those key ingredients. That's really what speaks to the health of a relationship.
So then what can that do for us? Because we all know some people who are in unhealthy relationships.
Yeah.
And we know that can be enough to make you sick, literally to your stomach.
Yeah.
And what about the healthy relationships? Are those giving us a sense of peace, whether it's a loved one or a spouse or even just a good healthy relationship with a girlfriend?
Oh, absolutely. Healthy relationships are good for us. We know that from the research, that social support is key for good health. And that can be sort of the indirect mechanisms. It's actually better for our endocrine system and our immune system, but also in terms of our health behaviors. For example, if there's somebody there telling us to take our medication, that's encouraging us to eat a healthy meal, that will take that morning walk with us, or we'll even notice that something doesn't seem quite right. For example, in older couples, that becomes absolutely critical, that there's somebody actually manning the fort every day with you and saying, he's not remembering stuff the way he used to. That can sometimes be one of the best early warning systems we have. So this is a lifelong payout, whether it's help with chores, whether it's someone to take you to the doctor, it's someone or simply someone to love you. I think that we as people, I know that we as people need to be heard. We need to be respected. And we need to be touched, frankly, intimacy, sex, and just contact. That's all very good for our health, too. So these are all sort of the value added of any close human relationship, but particularly our intimate partnership. And I can't underestimate that enough. I think we spend so much time exercising and eating right and trying to get enough sleep and hydrating. A lot of people forget that probably the single best health intervention you can take is to take care of your relationship.
Absolutely. So what do we do if we're looking for someone that listens? We're looking for someone that cares about us and loves us and touches and all of those things. How do we find that, and how do we recognize if we're not in that kind of a relationship?
Well, in with most adults, if you model something, you get it back. So if you want touch as part of your relationship, then touch. If listening matters to you, then listen. So often that if we model a healthy behavior, it sets the tone for the relationship. It's really difficult for someone else to listen if they never feel heard. So do all of those things. You know, be the person in the relationship you want in the relationship. Number two is communicate. And be clear. Now, you don't have to be critical. It doesn't have to be harsh. But always be clear on a hope, an expectation, a need, and take ownership of it. Say, I would like if. I would prefer that. I feel that. That way you're taking ownership. And that gets heard. But I think a lot of people often don't like communicating directly. They put it up on a shelf hoping it'll go away, and then it can sort of turn into a bigger problem. So I think relationships require a lot of day-to-day health. And finally, I say that relationships become the most important place for mindfulness in our lives. We give so much of ourselves to everything, to work, to colleagues, even to our front yard. And we don't take a moment once and ideally twice a day to actually be mindfully present in our relationships and give the best of ourselves to who should be one of the most, if not the most important person in our life.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing, is really we have to love ourselves before we can let somebody else love us.
Yes, yes. And you have to be that best version of yourself. Don't wait to be rescued. I think a lot of people just feel like everybody else can decode what's going on in their mind. Don't be so sure of that. You know, I mean, our minds are a mystery, and I think that healthy relationships involve sharing that, you know, sharing those wants and hopes and checking in with your partner. How are you doing? How was today? How was that meeting? You know, it's so nice to have somebody just simply check in and say, how's it going? And then surprise your partner from time to time. If you know they're going through a tough time, don't ask them what they want for dinner. Have that dinner waiting for them. It's just one thing taken off of their plate, literally or figuratively, and then they will feel taken care of. Like I said, then it starts to become a really lovely, elegant dance, all things being equal. As you know, Melanie and I, we've talked about narcissists. If that's the case, that's a different show. But if you have two healthy people in a relationship, it's give and take. And that means each dance step is followed by another. And you do that together. Don't just sit around and wait for it to happen. Make it happen.
So, Dr. Dervasla, I am in, and I feel lucky and blessed to be in one of those relationships. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like I've trained my husband to be like that, because he was not raised that way. He was not raised to be a nurturer and to ask how you're doing and how are you feeling about, and he's still not that great at that stuff. And so can you train somebody to be that partner, to be that friend? Do you have to train, or is this an innate ability of people that you are or you're not?
I think there's a little of both, Melanie. I think to some degree we have our temperaments, and let's face it, some temperaments are easier to get along with, and we usually choose people whose temperaments suit us. But beyond that, yes, I mean, although the word training, it may be a little tricky, but I do think that we do teach people to be with us. I mean, you're right. Some people do want a little bit of downtime. And in the elegant dance, especially in the early months and years of a relationship, you come to find out that sometimes he wants his Friday night at home, and he doesn't mind if you go out with friends to dinner and the movies. You figure out that dance. You shape your sort of rules, so to speak, to that person. But a key element to doing that is being very clear on your hopes and expectations. And the one thing I tell people to do is don't think things are going to magically change down the road. Maya Angelou has a wonderful quote. She says, when a person shows you who they are, believe them the first time. I think that we are all sort of who we are to some degree. So if you really are Little Miss, I like to stay at home 7 nights a week, and your husband-to-be or your boyfriend's the party animal, take pause and think about whether you really can find that sweet spot. People don't change nearly as much as we think, even when they are in love. So yeah, it's a little bit of training, but I think it's also a lot of temperament.
I think so, too. I think that you can, as you say, do a little bit of training, and there's nothing wrong with that either. There really isn't, to train the person you're in a relationship so that you both get something out of it. And just in the last minute here, Dr. Dervasla, tell people where they can find out more about you and your book, Should I Stay or Should I Go?
Yeah, absolutely. My book, Should I Stay or Should I Go, is available through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all local book vendors.
Good to get for the holidays. Buy
great
two, you
for
might
the holidays.
Lose one.
Yeah, it's a cynical stocking stuffer, but it's a good one. And my website is drdoctor-ramani.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at drramani, drramani.
Dr. Ramani, at Dr. Ramani, and the book, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Remember, it's Ramani, like ramen noodles, but she is very smart, has great relationship advice, so it doesn't have to be cynical. It could be something you just read for yourself to learn how to stay or be in a healthy relationship, something we all need, especially around the holidays. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening, and stay well.